In our message time today, we just want to consider Psalm 84. We've actually sung some things taken from the psalm. But let's just begin by reading it. Put it up here on the screen. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. A picture there, somebody just long journey to the house of the Lord, and as they draw near, they see that even, you know, the birds of the air, the swallows, have found a place there by the Lord's altar to make a nest, to make a home, and it just touches the psalmist's heart. Verse 4, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. Their early rain also covers it with blessing. That valley of Baca is probably just a difficult, arid, dry place. That's part of the journey to Zion there. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. So there's Psalm 84. The opening line of the psalm is, how lovely are thy dwelling places. And then it goes on in the psalm, and besides talking about dwelling places, the psalm also speaks of the courts of the Lord, speaks of the altars of the Lord, the altars where even the birds of the air can find housing, where they can build a nest. The psalm talks about the house of the Lord. The psalm talks about Zion. All of those things are truly great places. They are wonderful places. I mean, if we had the right kind of map, we could put those places as locations on the map and say, here's Zion, and here's the Lord's house, and here's the courts of the Lord, here are the altars. And to be allowed into such places is a marvelous blessing. And of course, even better than to be allowed in to visit the places, to dwell in those places, to dwell in the Lord's house, to dwell in his courts. I mean, that's even better. And the psalm says exactly that. Notice again in verse 4. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So the psalm just makes mention of these great places. The house of the Lord, the courts of the Lord, the dwelling places of the Lord, the altars, Zion. And it says, how blessed is the one who gets to dwell in such places. But the psalm also talks about something else. It also says, no verse 5 there. It says, how blessed is the one in whose heart are highways. So in that verse, in verse 5, that's not a talk about places. That's a talk about roads, highways, roads that lead to places. And here in verse 5, there's talk of the highways that lead to Zion. And as soon as you start talking about highways, that brings to mind, you know, not the arrival at the place, or perhaps even dwelling at the places. That brings to mind kind of like pictures of a journey, doesn't it? Being on the road, pictures of traveling, pictures of pilgrimage come to mind. And indeed, the NIV translates verse 5 as the one who is blessed, in whose heart is set on pilgrimage. So if we were to pull out that map again, what we're talking about now is not the locations, not the places, not Zion and the courts of the Lord and the altars of the Lord and the dwelling places of the Lord. Now we're talking about the roads that go to those places. On the map, they would be those little squiggly, curvy lines, that go across the map and end at those places. They're the roads. Years ago, in teaching the Psalms of Ascent, which chronicles kind of the pilgrimage of the people of God from far away towards Jerusalem for a time of festival and of feasting, and it just chronicles that ascent to Jerusalem. And all those pilgrims, the place that they want to be at Jerusalem. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. They want to be in that place. And indeed, the Psalm of Ascent ends up in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, with the servants of the Lord standing by night in his house. But many of the 15 Psalms of Ascent deal with the issues that happen on the road. As you make the pilgrimage to that desired place. And in trying, at that time when I was teaching there, trying to capture some of the dynamic of between roads and places, trying to capture some of what's the relationship between roads and places, one of the things I said is that desiring a place, you find yourself presented with a road. I think often the spiritual life right now is like that. We encounter that kind of thing fairly frequently. We desire a place, but what we have to do is travel the road. I think it's right to desire the place. You desire the thing itself. I mean, you want the dwelling places. That's where you want to be. That's where I want to dwell. You don't want the journey to the dwelling places. You want to be there. The place that you desire is the courts of the Lord. That's where I want to be. I don't just want the road that leads to the courts. I want the courts themselves. So I think it's right to desire the place. But I think something that often happens is you bow your head and you pray and you say, Lord, I want to be in your courts. Lord, I want to dwell in your house. And so you pray that to the Lord. And then when you open your eyes and look, hoping that now I'm going to be in the courts of the Lord, now I'm going to be in the house of the Lord, you open your eyes and look after praying that. And what's before you is not the courts. What before you is not the house of the Lord. Rather, it's a little dirt road that winds up into the hills and disappears from sight. You say, let's try that again. Let's bow our heads again and pray. Lord, I want to be in your courts. Courts, place, big pillars, stuff, courts. I want to be in your house. And you open your eyes and there's still just this little dirt road. And it just winds up. And you say, Lord, what's the deal with this? And what the Lord says is, follow the little dirt road. Walk on the road. There are, indeed, some very desirable places. Generate a little list. How about a holy church? Well, that's a desirable place. I'd like to be part of a holy church. How about wonderful fellowship? Oh, that's a good place. Make that big on the map, just where the fellowship is wonderful. How about spiritual worship? Where the worship is in spirit and truth. That's a great place. Effective ministry. Pleasing to the Lord, profitable to people, great place. True community. We're just not just a name, not just kind of an ideal, but actual true community where the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. The Lord's own presence, where he himself is dwelling there among his people. So there's great places. But in front of us often is not the place, but a road. In front of us isn't kind of just the place, holy church. In front of us is a road, but if you walk on the road, kind of like it ends in a holy church. A road which, if traveled faithfully, ends at the place. But what's in front of you is often not the thing itself, but just an opportunity. An opportunity to act or speak like a brother or a sister. A choice about employing a gift or not employing a gift. You know, what's often in front of us is just a few steps that you can choose to take or not take, you know, to worship or to care for, you know, a friend or a fellow believer. An opportunity to serve. I think it's right. Our hope, our desire should be for the place. And indeed, blessed is the one who gets to dwell in the place. Dwell in the Lord's house. How blessed is that person, you know, to dwell in Zion. That person is truly blessed. But something that we need in our hearts are highways. The highways that go there to those places. It's possible to desire the place, but not have in your heart the highways. An example. To be in good shape. Great place, right? Desirable shape. Desirable place. But what are the highways that get you there? Are those in your heart? You know, to get an A on the course. Oh, that's a good place. But what about the road that will take you to the A? Don't tell him I said this, and I'm teasing him a little bit. Stephen isn't here because he's working, but see, like my son Stephen, if he were here and I said, would you like to get an A in the course? He would say, would you like to be in that place? He would say, yes. And I would say, how about would you like to go under 22 seconds in the 50 style free? To that too. He said, that's a good place. I'd like to be there too. But of those two things, in his heart, he has highways to one of them and not to the other. He desires both places, but in his heart, there's only, you know, the highways to one of them. It's not the A grade, by the way. It's possible, you know, to desire the place, but not have in your heart the highways. And you can generally, you know, clean house. Nice place. About the highways, the road that gets you there. So it occurs in this song, kind of that desire, that love for, that yearning for the place, the dwelling places of God. But blessed is the one in whose heart are highways. So I wanted to highlight that, but now I want to highlight another thing that's in the psalm. And I simply want to highlight kind of the presence and the reality of the desire for the place and the delight in the place. I mean, it's the psalm speaks of longing for the courts of the Lord. That's, I really like that word, longing. Just a neat English word. How long does it take to do longing? Long, right? Can't just long for something for, like, you know, kind of like an afternoon and then lose interest. Well, that's shorty. So to long for the courts, I mean, there's some strength there in his desire, some sustaining of the desire for the courts of the Lord. I mean, the psalm speaks of yearning for the Lord's courts, for the dwelling places of the Lord. So the desire there in the psalmist is intense, and it's sustained. And I just want you to note that. What a person wants, I think, is a powerful and important element in human life. What it is that I want, what it is that you want, what it is that we want, is a very important element in human life. I mean, advertising often has as its agenda something about our desire. It either kind of, first of all, it wants to appeal to a desire that you already have and somehow promise the fulfilling of some desire that you have. If you get this thing, it will fulfill a desire that you have. If you get this thing, kind of like it will satisfy a desire. So it tries to hook up a desire that you have with whatever it's advertising and say, you know, you want to get this thing because it will fulfill a desire. So it either does that, or it tries to form a desire in you. Create a desire. Foster a desire. You know, it wants to form in you a desire for all those things that you didn't know that you needed. Right? It wants to form in you a desire you really need, kind of like the 12G phone. I mean, you just got the 11G, right? You know, like, you can't live with an 11G phone, you gotta have the 12G. Look what it does. Don't you want one? Knowing that if it can get you to want it, if it can get you just to desire it, then you yourself will overcome obstacles to get it. Is that right or not? Yeah, I want that 12G phone. You know, like, I'll sell my kids on eBay. Jan can get another job. I'll solve it because I want it. There's frequent reference in the Psalms to a person's desires. Talks about desiring just one thing. And thus, because you desire one thing, only seeking one thing. Talks about desiring like the deer pants for the water brooks, for the living streams. Psalms talk about desiring something more than you desire gold or silver. Talks about longing and yearning, you know, like the parched land yearns and longs for living water. Talks about desiring something so much that you watch all through the night, even multiple nights in a row. You stay up watching and waiting because you're waiting for your desire to come. So there's lots of references to desire, to what is wanted. There's also references, not just for desires for good things, but references for evil things. When people desire not what's good, but what's evil. And how desire for evil becomes a snare and a trap that trips us up. You know, mind maybe jumps for it's kind of, it's not money that's the root of all evil, but it's the love of money. It's the desire for it that, you know, produces all kinds of evil. Talks about how evil desires just get people in trouble, get them off course, lead them astray. And of course, the Psalms speak of receiving the desires of your heart, of being granted the desires of our hearts. I think it's quite likely that all of us will get what it is that your heart desires. That you will indeed get what your heart desires. The great question, of course, is when you get it, will you like it? Here's a quote that probably some of you know from C.S. Lewis. There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says, in the end, "Thy will be done." I suspect that might be accurate. Not everybody's going to get what they want. But the question is, when you get what's really in your heart, what you desire, is it truly to say to God, "Thy will be done"? You'll get that. His will be done. Or is in your heart, "I really want my will to be done. I want to decide." Then God will say in the end, "You can have your desire, your will be done." A companion, kind of course, to that desire is this the delight that you have in something, the joy, the admiration that you feel. So to the psalmist, the desired dwelling place is lovely. How lovely are your dwelling places? You know, that desired place makes his heart sing for joy. His heart and his flesh sing for joy. I mean, he admires, even as he gets close, he admires even the birds. You know, they get to make a nest there. How lucky that bird is. Gets to nest on the Lord's altar. When the psalmist confesses that one day, you know, in the Lord's house, one day in his courts is better than thousands in other places. I think when he says that thing, and we sang it, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere, that's a statement not only about the value of the Lord's court. I mean, it's certainly that the Lord's courts are worth more, you know, than all those other places. It's also a statement about how much he desires the Lord's court and how much he delights in the Lord's courts. I mean, if I said to you, better is one day fishing than thousands shopping, that not only points out the superior value of fishing, but if it says, kind of like I asked you, which one does Roger desire? What's the answer to that? Fishing. And which one does he delight in? Fishing. So right in there with desiring of places is what you take delight in, what gives you joy, what makes you sing, you know, where you want to be, where you say it's better here than any place else. So now kind of pull those two things that I've highlighted together. Find a person who desires and delights in the good place. Find a person who desires and delights in the Lord's house, in his dwelling places, in his altars, who desires and delights in Zion. And find a person who not only desires and delights in the place, but has the highways in his heart. The highways, the roads that go to such places. But those things are in his heart. And you will find somebody who will make it through dry and difficult times in life. That person won't falter when they're in the valley of Baca. You know, when it's uphill and difficult and dusty and dry, that person won't falter. Find a person who delights and desires a good place and in whose heart are the highways. And that person's history won't be a history of rallying and then crashing and then rallying and then crashing. I don't know if you know anybody who lives like that, but people do. They rally and then they crash. And then they rally and then they crash. They go from strength to weakness to strength to weakness to strength to weakness. But find a person who desires and delights in good places and in whose hearts are the highways, they'll go from strength to strength. Find a person who delights and desires the good places, you know, in whose hearts are the highways, and for them God will be both a sun and a shield. He'll be a light upon their path when they need to see, and he'll be a shield, a defense against all that would harm or hinder them. Find a person who yearns for the good places, who longs for those places, and whose heart are the highways to get there. And that's that their end will be, every one of them will stand before God in Zion. So some neat things there in the psalm about, you know, what happens for people who desire and yearn for such places, delight in such places, but then in whose heart is set on pilgrimage. So just by way of conclusion, so just consider your desires. Consider it is what it is that you want. Sometimes perhaps it's easy to deceive others when you're really wanting something, but you can portray an interest or you can disguise that want. Sometimes you can almost disguise it and deceive yourself. I'm like, Lord, what is it that I really want? But know that he for sure sees it clearly and accurately. So consider it as just what your heart desires. It's possible to desire good things. One of the reasons we want love in our heart, because love takes delight in good things. It's possible to desire evil things. Though they become a snare and a trap, and, you know, trip us up and lead us astray, possible to desire evil things. Such things are kind of bound up in the human heart. Think of the scandal with the texting and the tweeting thing of the congressperson. I mean, the story dominates the media. Kind of like, why are we interested in that stuff? That evil thing tugs and kind of pulls on our heart. So it's possible to want good things. It's possible to want bad things. So what is it that you want? It's also, of course, possible for a desire to grow cold. where maybe from disappointment, maybe from disillusionment, I've given up wanting anything. I've lowered my expectations till they're already met. You know, I don't want much of anything. I think that's also possible, something the Lord could give you in the end. Here's the desires of your heart. You didn't want much of anything. You don't get much of anything. You get to live in gray, you know, or something. I think kind of as you get older, that's a very much a possibility. I don't care anymore, whatever. You know, I've given up kind of the zeal and the zest of youth and the fervent pursuit of things. But God, be too hard to and too difficult and too risky to be real evil, so I shouldn't do much of anything. And desire just grows cold and kind of grows still inside of you. You know, words like longing and yearning and being like the deer that pants. You know, desiring something more than gold. You know, waiting up all night for it. Kind of like those things don't make it into your experience anymore. So what is it that you desire? Very important element in human life. Also, let your heart delight in the things that you desire. So those things you desire, learn to see their beauty. You know, how lovely they are. You know, learn to see their greatness and their goodness and their glory. Things that make you sing. So let your heart indeed revel in and delight in those things that you desire. So I want to encourage you, earnestly desire the place. But then let the highways be in your heart. And you know, you earnestly desire and you sing of the place, but then you open your eyes and before you is just kind of plain old road. You know, it doesn't look too special. Perhaps even goes uphill. But you say, okay, I'm gonna walk on that road, you know, to end in the place. So desire the place, and let the highways, you know, find dwelling in your heart. So I want to just pray about the things here that we've spoken of from the song. Pray about the desire that we have, what it is that we want. And just as we pray about those things, put before the Lord what it is that you want. Some things perhaps known to others, perhaps, you know, some that you can keep secret. You say, you know what, Lord, I want to be rich. I don't know if I've ever told anybody that, but, you know, Lord, you know, that's, if you gave me what I want, I would be rich. So lay out those desires before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, teach me to long for your house, your courts, for Zion, for Jerusalem. Help me see their glory, their goodness, their loveliness, their beauty. So I can delight in those things. Rejoice when those things gain the ascendancy. But then also want to pray for that second thing of the roads. Lest we find ourselves being people, we desire a place. But in our hearts aren't the roads to get there. Or we're scandalized by the fact that we have to travel. We have to ascend in order to get there. So Lord, put in my heart an understanding and a willingness to be on the road. And so I say, Lord, I just want to be in that place where we all love each other. And then afterwards, Carl walks up here and he tips over the monitor and he's mad at Carl. He's jerky. He's wrecking our equipment. I'm like, what happened? We're the road, you know. Kind of like, I just want to be in a place where we all love. Not where people are wrecking stuff, right? But they are desiring the place. Okay, here's an opportunity. You know, just one little step on a long journey. You move towards being a people who walk in love for each other. You know, or not. And then we leave the place, and that's what we all face. It's just the journey for another week, right? Desire the place. Delight in a place. Walk on the road. Let's pray together. Father, we as your people, Father, we would just be before you. Father, we thank you for your word and the light and the wisdom of Psalm 84. Father, we invite you to look into our hearts and see what it is that we long for, what it is that we desire, what we pant after, Father, what we wait for, Father, more than the watchman, Father, wait for the morning. Father, we pray that you would, Father, form in us and fashion in us and teach us to desire, Father, the great things and the good things of yourself, to desire you, to desire your house and your courts, Father, desiring them, Father, to delight in them and for them to be our joy and our hope and, Father, the things that cause us to sing, Father, the place that we'd rather be rather than thousands of other places. Father, where there's desire for other things, or perhaps where desire has grown cold, Father, we pray that you would purify us and reignite in us, Father, just a holy passion, and that yearning, that intense and sustained longing for a place. And then, Father, we pray that you would put into our hearts the highways of Zion, the path that you set before us that we must walk on, that we must, the race that we must run, and that we might make it through the dry and difficult times, and that we might, Father, not, Father, constantly wander off, but go from strength to strength, Father, finding light and finding defense until we stand before you in Zion. Father, put in our heart the highways and the understanding and the contentment to walk in those ways. Father, how much we need you for both things. Desire for the place and for an understanding of the way. Father, work them in us individually, we pray. Father, I pray for each one here who is making that prayer to you, that in his heart and her heart would be a longing for your courts. Father, that in his heart and her heart would be the highways to Zion, that you would hear that prayer and answer. Father, for us corporately, pray that you would, Father, work that among us as, Father, we as a people, Father, would follow you, and we as a people would be a house in which you dwell. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.